This morning's reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, first one, chapter 2, verses 6 to 16. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom amongst the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I take this opportunity to say good morning all. It's always a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. It's indeed a blessing, as I'm sure you will agree with me. The psalmist says, behold, behold, how good and how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And so we're blessed this morning, and I firmly believe, as I say to you what the Lord has laid on my heart, that God has a special blessing for each one of us. And my prayer is that his Spirit, the Spirit which endorses, which gives wisdom, would be at work amongst us today to bless us. You know, as I stood here, I was almost tempted also to say Happy New Year. But it would be a strange thing to do for a number of reasons, given that today is the 26th of January. And we're almost at the end of the month, going into February. But the reason I was slightly prompted to do that, because this is the first opportunity I have to talk to a congregation in this church, but also over the Christmas period, my family and I were in Sierra Leone, where we had a very good holiday. So I say Happy New Year, because the New Year is also a time when we reflect. And I know all of you presented here today would have had your the things you want to achieve, and by now you would have achieved them. So you want to move on to other things. And there's no better other thing, dare I suggest, to think of than the subject of my talk today, which is wisdom. I'm going to be talking about wisdom. Can I just ask by the show of hands all those who think they're wise? Thanks, David. I thought as much. Goodness. I think if anybody should know, it's your wife. So we take it on record, David, that you're a very wise man. And is it incidental, David, that your name is linked to Solomon, who is known as the wisest man of the Bible? So, David, we seek to learn from you because nobody actually raised their hands to say they're wise. So I'll be talking today about wisdom, but not just any kind of wisdom. The wisdom that is from the Holy Spirit. And I'll be using as my text the passage read by Mike so eloquently, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 to 16. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 16. Now, by way of context, can I just say that Paul is speaking in the preceding chapter. Paul had explained about the gospel, and what he was saying is that the gospel is all about God, because the plan of salvation, the forethought about saving humanity, came from God. So the gospel is all about God, and because the gospel is all about God, he receives all the glory for the gospel. But then in the text, in the next chapter, which is the text which I'll be talking from, Paul moves the discus forward, and he says, he explains his own role in preaching the gospel. He says, or he explains that, I have not come with impressive speech or worldly wisdom. That is when he's preaching the gospel. And the reason for this is because he wanted the faith of his hearers to depend on the power of God and not worldly wisdom. I have not come with impressive speech or worldly wisdom. And the reason being, want the faith of the hearers, the congregation, to be focused, to depend on the power of God and not worldly wisdom. And as he continues in the passage that we heard, he makes another significant point. He says that worldly wisdom is of no value whatsoever in grasping the gospel. No value whatsoever in grasping the gospel. To grasp the gospel, to understand the gospel, what we need is the Spirit of God. And Paul says his own message, the message of the gospel, the message of the cross, is a message of wisdom. And so he says that for understanding of it, we need the Holy Spirit. And he says four important things, which I'd like to be the point of our reflection today, which I'll try to unpack and see what learning aspects we can derive to help us in our own individual walk with God. He says we need the wisdom that God gives because the gospel which he preached, the word of the cross, is one, is hidden. Secondly, it says it's strange. It's not something that the world understands. Thirdly, he says it's secret. Fourthly, and most importantly, he says it was founded before the foundation of the world and is for our glory. And so, like I say, I'm going to talk for a short while as we reflect on these. And Lord, at this time I say, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable unto you, our God and our Redeemer. I take it that most, if not all of us here present are au fait with computers. Am I right? Well, I hope so anyway. But I tell you what, I'm mentioning computers, got nothing to do with wisdom, but it's just for an analogy. There's something I normally face whilst using a computer, because every so often I see a file which is strange, which I'm unable to recognize. So the file pops up, you don't know where it's coming out from, it's strange, can't recognize it. Now, as long as that file is there, If I need to use a program to open it up so that I can read what is communicating and the information that's displayed. Now, this is where it's at. If I use the wrong program, then something will come up. Some people call it gibberish. It would not make sense, but something definitely would come up. But for me to understand, first of all, to see the information displayed, and to understand in real terms what is communicating, I need to use the right program. And you know, there's a similarity in this analogy within what Paul is saying here. Because what Paul is saying there, it says, to receive the gospel, the message of the cross, to receive it, we need to receive God's Spirit. And when we have God's Spirit, we need God's Spirit because we need to understand the gospel, to understand what it means to have the gospel, and if we are to make the right response to the gospel. So Paul is saying, to receive the gospel, we need the Spirit of God. And we need the Spirit of God because it's only the Spirit of God which gives us the understanding that we need of the gospel. And if we are to have the gospel, and even more importantly, for us to make the right response to the gospel, His Spirit gives us the understanding. But why does His Spirit, the Spirit of God, give us this understanding? There are a number of things which Paul suggests. He said earlier that His is not a message or preaching approach or style where He comes with impressive words or worldly wisdom. He depends on the power of God. Paul was not suggesting that His message was anti-intellectual or it was dumbed down. No, the contrary. Because in 1 Corinthians 2:6, Paul says, to the wise we impart wisdom. What Paul was saying in effect here is that the gospel, the message of the cross, which He brings to humanity, it's a message of wisdom. It's a message of wisdom, but it's a message which is meant, one, for those who are matured. It's meant for those who are matured in spirit, adults, spiritual adults, in other words. But it's also a message which is foreign. It is not known. It is not understood by the world, the rulers of this world. So the gospel, the message of the cross, is not understood by the rulers, by the world of the world. And he says also that is for the matured. Doesn't mean that what Paul is saying is that there's a group of spiritual elite who understand, who have a special understanding of the word compared with others. No. What Paul is here implying is he was speaking to an understanding in his own time which considered the message of the cross to be foolishness, the message of the cross to be childish. So in other words, for Paul, the matured is those, anyone, any person who considers the foolishness of the cross as wisdom, but rejects the wisdom of the world as foolishness. Those who accept the foolishness of the cross as wisdom, but reject the wisdom of the world as foolishness. Paul goes on to make three important points, which I want to briefly reflect on this morning. He not only says the gospel, the message of the cross, is foreign, it's strange, it's not understood to the world, the rulers of the world who are here today, gone tomorrow. He also says, the message of the cross is secret. The message of the cross is secret. Now, the Greek word from which the word secret derives is called mysterion, mysterion. Meaning is the word which, you know, mystery derives from, meaning a mystery. So when Paul says here that the message of the cross, the gospel, is a secret, he means it's a mystery. And the reference here is to those secret plans and thoughts of God that are hidden from human reason, but revealed by God in a mysterious manner to those whom he has chosen. It's about the thoughts and plans of God that are hidden from human wisdom, human knowledge, but revealed by God to those who he has chosen. So the message is a mystery. But those who God has chosen, those within whom his spirit abides and is working, are revealed. His word is revealed to those. But Paul doesn't only say that the message of the cross is strange and foreign to the world, cannot be understood by them, and says it's a secret. He makes another point, that it's hidden. He imparts a wisdom that's hidden, and that's what Paul's message is about. What Paul means here is that wisdom is not discovered, achieved, or understood by our own efforts. Because if that were the case, Paul reasons, then the educated, the powerful, the wealthy, the worldly wise people would not have killed Jesus. Why? Because they would have understood that he is the Messiah, the one who came to save the world from sin. So it's hidden, cannot be achieved, understood, derived by our own efforts. Otherwise, the people of the world, the people in whose God's Spirit doesn't dwell, would have fathomed that, would have figured it out. And this is also consistent with the other point Paul makes here. Because this wisdom, this message of the cross, this gospel which Paul talks about is not only hidden, but it exceeds the thinking, the views, the confines of human wisdom. That is why he says it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor the mind can comprehend what the Lord has in store for them who love him. Without the insight to be derived, the understanding to be discovered through the Spirit of God, eye could not see, ear could not hear, the mind could not understand the wisdom of God. But then Paul makes another point, very important point about this wisdom, which is godly wisdom. And dare I say, when he's making this point, he's actually making a contrast between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. Given that, from the outset he established that the basis of his preaching is not worldly wisdom, but the power of God, godly wisdom. He makes a fourth point, though. He says, about this wisdom he's talking about, he says, because it was decreed, it was founded before the ages for our glory. Before the dawn of creation, this wisdom was there. And the Bible tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Wisdom was there, this godly wisdom, because this plan was already conceived by God for the salvation of humanity. And unlike worldly wisdom, godly wisdom does not pass away with each generation. It is eternal because our God is eternal. It does not change because it was founded before the dawn of creation. And so the Word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, "For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." Hallelujah. So then Paul says, it is these manifestation of wisdom that God has decided to reveal to you and I because of his Spirit. Because it's the Spirit of God which searcheth everything and shows us the deepest secret of God, his plans, which only he reveals by his Spirit to those whom he has chosen. And Paul says, the Spirit of God it is that searches out everything and shows us God's deepest secret. Who can know a person's inner thoughts? I cannot know your thoughts, neither can you know mine. The only person who knows our thoughts apart from God himself, the Creator, is actually our inner spirit, the spirit that we have inside of us. And so Paul says, by extension, the inner thoughts of God are only known by his Spirit. And herein is that significant revelation that I want all of us to take away today. Because he says in verse 12, we have received God's Spirit, that Spirit which raised Christ from the dead, that Spirit which knows the inner thoughts of God, that Spirit which is a life-giving Spirit. We have received God's Spirit, not the Spirit of the world. So why? So we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. We have received God's Spirit, not the Spirit of the world, not the Spirit of deceit, not the Spirit of death, but the Spirit of life. So that we can know, we can understand the wonderful things that God has freely given us. But you know, this is a special privilege we have, a special dispensation, a special status which is given to us by God. Not that we deserved it, freely given by God because of his grace. And why I say that? It's because people who are not spiritual cannot receive the same wisdom that we have. They cannot understand it, as the Word of God says, because to them it's foolishness. And herein Paul is making a distinction in terms of the characteristic between a believer and a non-believer. Because for a believer has, the moment we accept Christ, the moment we come to the knowledge of his saving grace, where he comes in our life, we have his Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And you know, the Spirit of God dwelling in us is not passive or silent, but he does what Jesus said he would do. Helps to teach us all. Helps to teach us in all things and to remember everything Jesus said and did. Hallelujah. So, you know, there was one statement when I was growing up as a Christian which didn't sit easy with me. And, you know, people used to say,
that person is spiritual, ex-spiritual. The way I often interpreted it is a kind of almost arrogance and a kind of self-importance kind of thing. But having explored this passage, I must say that's one of the learning I derived. If you have come to the knowledge of the saving grace of God, if you have accepted him as your personal savior, you have in you the Spirit of God, and you can lay claim to the statement that you are spiritual. But herein comes the challenge. We have access to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God dwells in us, but it's not meant to stay there. We're meant to grow. We're meant to develop. And that's where the challenge comes in. God has given us his Spirit not so that we can meet here every Sunday in these cozy confines and enjoy fellowship. That's part of it, but that's not the reason. And in closing, I would suggest one thing to you, that God has given us a Spirit, empowered us for service. Because our mission on earth is to make God's kingdom come on earth. So these revelations, these understanding that we have of the things of God, of those deep secrets of God, they're not meant to stay with us. We're meant to use them. So those who hitherto don't know about the wisdom of God would come to the knowledge of the saving grace of God. In essence, those who are mature, those who are wise, those who are spiritual, want nothing more than to love Jesus, to know Jesus, and to be with him. This is the same Jesus from the dawn of creation, not the new Jesus that Paul is talking about. It's the same Jesus that the scripture told us about. But unless we are in God, we don't know him this way. Those who are not don't have this perspective, so they would say, that's it. But for us, that's not it. God bless you.